The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Affirm.
Affirm.
I am the divine flame,
of universal
flame.
love and forgiveness.
Releasing all that is not in alignment with divine love and harmony from my being and my world. I am the radiant presence of divine light and love, replacing all those spaces with the living light of spirit. I am spirit in action.
Welcome to The Eye of the Needle with Dr. Judith Long. This time in our evolution is exceptionally important. It is calling us to live with authenticity, precision, and purpose. Our show will inspire you to become all that you can be, no matter what it takes. Now, here is your host, Dr. Judith Long.
Well, good morning and welcome. Today we are live, which is really fun because it's the first time I've been live. So it's really an experience for me and my guest who's here, Cal Garrison. We originally were going to do an inner child session online on the air, and it just felt too restricting. It felt like we wouldn't have had the freedom to go as long as we needed to or do exactly what we needed to. So we decided to do the session yesterday and then to talk about it today. It was a beautiful session, at least I felt that it was. And Cal's here, and I'd like to hear her feedback on how she felt about that session yesterday. Cal.
I had a really interesting experience with it because for me, inner child work has been trivialized by a lot of the stuff that, the media has done to make it, they almost turn it into a humorous thing. But, and I've also done a lot of work on myself, and I also thought I had my inner child pretty much handled, but I got to the bottom of some really great stuff, talking to Judith and really going underneath some of the things that I tend to make light of in myself and that I have sort of learned how to go into denial about, how things really mm-hmm. make me feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm one of those people who's always sort of learned how to thrive on neglect.
Mm-hmm.
So my inner child isn't really screaming too loud. She's gotten used to getting nothing out of everything. So whatever.
Well, we connected a lot of those dots, yesterday. And we do, my dad used to say, we get used to hanging if we hang long enough. We figure out a way to cope with everything. We have that ability. But it doesn't mean that it is helping us to be all that we can be or that it's really the way we're meant to live our life in a joyful way. How can we live in our heart and truly love, and we can do really wondrous things, but when that part of ourself is silenced, as yours was,
yes.
Silenced, how can that spontaneity and creativity and all that be present every moment for you?
I don't know. I have no idea. It's never been there.
Yeah. And yet it is there. It is there because those of us who know you very well can see it there. And it's there sometimes, and then other times it's just not there. And we can see what's happening. And there's no criticism here. We all have these things that come up from our infancy. Lord knows I have so many issues that I've worked with and continue to work with, but I think we're called now to be all that we can be. So it's, and to value ourselves, and so these things need to be cleaned up.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I I don't know exactly what to say. I got back to a place that realized that I had made a decision that the best way to get love was not to ask for it. And the story around that was very interesting for me. And it is something that I've carried into my adult life. And it's funny what becomes of us over time, where we get so strong in our defenses that we wall ourselves in to a place that's really okay with not needing anything. And I think that that's basically, I set myself up looking around in the way that I was raised, because, you know, I had a really, you know, my parents were very nice people. Don't get me wrong. It's not like people were putting cigarette butts out in my back, but it was, they couldn't help raising me the way they raised me because of the way they were taken care of.
Right.
So.
Right.
And they didn't also were completely dysfunctional as people. And this is the problem, I think. You know, they didn't know they were dysfunctional as people because they had two arms and two legs and they looked like grown-ups. my poor mother, my God, the poor thing. I mean, she was a really self-absorbed, nice, narcissistic female who really didn't have an easy time being a mother.
Yeah.
And
well, what we want to do is just give the listeners a little bit of an idea about what you experienced, because about the way it all came up, and it comes up first by answering the questions. The questions about what's going on in your adult life, and there's a questionnaire that you answered, and a lot of those questions were around trust. They were around taking care of yourself. They were around different aspects of being in public and being with other people. And we saw through the questionnaire that there were some issues going on here. And these things can go back to infancy. By 9 months old, we have a propensity towards trusting the world or not trusting the world according to how well we can trust our mother or nurturing survival figure, whoever it might be. So we began working and digging and going in, and you told me some amazing things about your mother, but also a very predominant force in a child's life, especially a young child, is an older sibling. And you had an older sibling who was very wounded herself and then took her wounds out on you. And you told me that, by the way, Cal has cleared that this is okay to talk about on the air, so I would never do this unless I had the person's permission.
Yeah, and I think it's okay with my sister, too, because she and I have straightened it out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like I'm still harboring any kind of ill feelings towards my sister, but the deal with me is that my older sister, 3 years older than I, had some sibling rivalry issues, and she tried to kill me 3 times before I was 6 years old.
Yeah.
So, and what we got into was the fact that the first attempt took place when I was about 2.5 or 3 months old, and the second attempt took place when I was about 2.5 years old, and the third attempt took place right before between the age of 5 and 6.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just vague memories of this. So, and what you shared with me is like, wow, you really got whacked at, you know, several different stages of your development.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we talked about those stages, but we go back to the first one to start, because the first one was in your infancy.
Yeah.
And so when we think about the developmental polarity of trust versus mistrust, that polarity was arrested in some form.
Totally.
And you told me that a lot of that, like you feel safe at home, but then sometimes it's a real production to try and get out the door, you know?
Yeah. I don't like to leave the house.
And because out there, it might not be so safe.
Yeah, I don't like to leave the house. And I'm still, deeply sort of like afraid of life.
Afraid of life, yeah.
Yeah.
Because as a baby, and even as a child up until we go to school, our whole world is our family. It's home. It's what's going on in the house. So we carve out our opinion of the world then by what was going on in the house. And so listening to what you were telling me about your sister doing this to you, trying to smother you with a pillow is what happened. I'm wondering, where's your mother? Where was your mother? Now, of course, we're not blaming anyone's parents. They're trying to do an enormously difficult job, and they're wounded themselves, and sometimes it's overwhelming. But the fact of the matter is that real harm was done to Cal in this situation, and how it's played out in her adult life is really interesting. So we talked about that, and we talked about reproductions of your sister.
Oh, reproductions of my sister. Mm. Oh my God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have always been surrounded in different stages. You know, I can reflect back on my biography and realize that there was always some other female out there who was trying to kill me. Mm. And on some level. And of course, at different stages of your development, this takes place on a lot of different levels. I think, I'm trying to think in high school, I can't really think back to high school, but I do know that as an adult, I've always been the other woman in situations, and there were always women out there trying to kill me. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, many times, right up to the present, just former working situations.
Oh, the former work situation, you want to talk about that?
Well, if you do, sure.
And this is really interesting because that we were in a conversation about a former work situation, and I don't even realize these things.
Yes.
When I'm in them. In fact, I got into a sisterly sort of relationship with my former boss, and the whole relationship or the time I spent working under this woman, and also, you know, having felt extremely fortunate also, okay, to have been welcomed in and asked to work for her. You know, I remember back in the beginning, this is way back, like crisis back, like maybe 10 years ago. But, getting in and doing everything that I could to do a good job, whatever. And then realizing after 10 years when I left that job that I had almost died twice working for this woman. Mm. And nobody paid attention.
Mm. To your suffering.
To the fact that, no, nobody even knew what was going on, number one. Number two, at the end of the day, when the second experience reminded me of the fact that I was being completely devalued in that situation, I said right out loud, I said, Jesus Christ, I finally figured out what she does. She kills people.
Mm. Mm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And when I looked at that, okay, and what actually is what you pointed out to me is that I had manufactured this woman, okay, and that she was actually standing in for my sister.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then this was another opportunity for me to see that I didn't need to be treated this way.
Yeah, yeah. And those opportunities will continue to come. And they'll continue to, not now, that you've broken it open and you've gone back to the source and will continue to go to the other times when your sister was that way toward you. But it won't continue now. But up until we get to the place where we've had enough and we want to heal it, or we want to figure out what this all is, it will continue to happen to get our attention so that we can go back and do something about it. And this is why I giggle when I hear people say, oh, we don't need to go back. We don't need to go back. Yes, we do need to go back, because that's where it all started. We form these energy patterns, an energy pattern that a woman is trying, a person who you love, who you respect, like your older sister, who you wanted to be a part of, who you were so excited if she was going to take you somewhere. I mean, this is later on, but this is something else you shared with me. And then to have that happen is a pattern. It's an energy pattern, and it plays itself out until we interrupt the pattern.
I gotcha.
Yeah. And so you did a great job interrupting that pattern yesterday.
Yeah, it was good.
It really was. We have, you were so open and so willing, which is really a part of it, and courageous too.
Thank
Brave.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this situation for Cal is one, as she said, where she didn't even realize that it was, that there was anything wrong with it for a long time. She didn't realize that being second fiddle or not being paid attention to, that there was anything wrong with that. And that's often a characteristic of a wounded inner child, because they learn to cope. You shared with me that you were placed in the playpen all day, and what you realized was the best way to get love was to just be quiet and sit there like a statue. And that's
right.
What you did.
That's what I did, yes. Yeah. And my stories, the stories from my parents, you know, people look back on things with rose-colored glasses, and the way they interpret it is, she was such a good baby. She used to just sit in the playpen all day, not want anything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, they joke, she was like a little Buddha.
Yeah.
That's what they said.
Yeah.
And hey, maybe I was, but part of the problem was, and you find these things out, like after you get older, you find out that, oh no, I was stuck in the playpen because my sister was a real handful. She was not real easy to babysit for. My mother wasn't the most patient woman in the world, and she was a bit narcissistic. And so what happened to me is I got sort of like shoved into the little cage because there was all this other stuff going on that wasn't working for anybody.
Yeah.
And yeah.
This is very thwarting. We have about just a few more seconds before we need to go on to break.
Oh, that's okay.
I want to come back to it, though.
Sure.
Because it's interesting when you wrote your letter and received a letter back from your inner child, what she said, that was really interesting. So we're gonna go off on break now, Cal, and we'll be back in a few. Well, I think they're gonna play the music for us, so we'll know exactly when that is. But there we go. See you in a minute.
This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Dr. Judith Long is a pioneer in the field of expanding human consciousness. Having 30 years' experience in the world of metaphysics, Dr. Judith is considered an expert in the body-mind connection and in living with spiritual awareness. She lives what she teaches. Through her workshops, seminars, lectures, and private practice, she can teach you how to open to your own personal guidance. Connect with your higher self and be aware of the unity between your body, mind, and spirit. Visit www.drjudithlong.com to schedule an appointment with or to purchase Dr. Judith's exclusive line of transformational products. They include Chakra Bliss Essential Oils and Mists, Sedona Vortex or Archangel and Goddess Mists, Meditation CDs, Starlight Jewelry, books, and more. Also, check out her upcoming workshops and events, such as the exciting 5-day workshop, Awakening the Illuminated Heart. Sign up online today at www.drjudithlong.com. That's drjudithlong.com.
the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Be extraordinary. Be the change.
You are listening to The Eye of the Needle with Dr. Judith Long. If you'd like to reach our show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to The Eye of the Needle.
Well, hi and welcome back. We're here with Cal Garrison. We're talking about her inner child session with the infant, with her inner infant. And part of that session is to write letters. And it was clear to me after talking with Cal that she has really settled for having very little in her life, and of course that goes back to value. This started, as we were talking about in the previous segment, when she was placed in the playpen, and she just knew that the best thing to do there was just sit like a little Buddha and not move or make any sounds or any noise or distract or disturb anyone. And so this is carried into her adult life. But it's interesting, now I want to share with you, or have Cal share with you, the letters that she wrote. The first thing that you do is you write a letter to your inner child, pretending that this is a baby that you want to adopt, and you need to write a letter to this baby. And Cal wrote a beautiful letter to her baby. Let's listen, Cal. Tell us about that letter, or read that letter to us, please.
Yeah. This is the letter that I wrote to my inner child. I am so sorry. I never knew you were there. I am here now, and I want to take care of you. Please tell me what you need from me. I love you, and I want to come back into your life so we can go together from here. Please forgive me. Don't be afraid to come out. I promise to always make sure you are taken care of. That's what I wrote to my inner infant. And then
it's a beautiful letter. And let me just interject here that then what we do then is we switch hands and we get a letter back from our beautiful inner infant using our non-dominant hand. And this is what Cal's precious little infant said back to her.
Yeah, I like this too. The whole thing with writing it with a hand that you don't write with really is amazing. So this is what my inner child wrote back to me. It's okay. You couldn't help it. I'm still here and doing okay. But more love would help, and I wish you were happier. What's up with that? I want to play.
I just really giggled. I mean, I did not, my heart was breaking, but I was giggling at the beautiful resilience of the baby. I mean, you know, she's there, she's still in that situation. And this is the thing that's really interesting. Our energy is still there. There's a part of us still in that time-space continuum, sitting in that playpen in that house.
Totally.
And the work is to bring that energy back, bring that energy to the present. I want to read something about play. It's so interesting that she said she wants to play, because for a child, as John Bradshaw says, which is he's a master in the inner child work, play is serious business. And he says, children have a natural sense of freedom. And when they feel safe, they move with great spontaneity. These qualities, freedom and spontaneity, form the structure of play. Plato saw the model of true play in children's need to leap, which involves testing the limits of gravity. Free play is the way a child transcends the repetition of mere habit. As we grow older, we often lose sight of this quality of play. Play is important for that part of ourself, and it was so interesting that your inner child talked about wanting to play. So, Cal, tell us more about your experience that you remember in that time. You told me about remembering the bassinet, remembering
being in the bassinet,
the whole thing. So share with the listeners about that so they can get a feel.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
I have never really been able to, the first experience of being smothered, and I was about 2.5 months old, and when I try to get back into that memory, what I see is I have an awareness of the room that I was in, of the fact that there was snow on the ground, and of the bassinet around me and the way that looked. But I have no recollection of anything, you know, any human being part of it. The whole experience was just solid white. Okay, and what I realize now was that the impression that I was receiving was about the pillow coming down on my face, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. I don't recollect, I don't have any recollection of being rescued, of anybody coming to the rescue. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm not sure what happened in that situation. She may have run out of the room mm-hmm. and left a pillow on me. Mm-hmm. And maybe there was enough room to breathe. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Somebody may have entered the room. She may have changed her mind. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But what I remember is the whiteness of things mm-hmm. from that. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting when I remember it, too, because I have no sense of my physical body. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really, I was not even fully formed, I don't think. Do you know what I mean? It was like I was having this experience, but all I remember was that I was part of the environment, and mm-hmm. it was all white. The thing that's interesting about these experiences is that over time what happened is they became a family joke. Mm-hmm. The weirdness around that really didn't hit me until I was about 45, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's shame. Yeah. That's shaming you for your vulnerability, shaming you for... It's shame. It's a form of shame. So now all of a sudden it's funny. So how devaluing is that?
Yeah, I know. It's funny that she tried to kill me. It was a big joke. Oh, remember the time she tried to kill Carolyn? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like the whole family would laugh. Even, you know, at Thanksgiving, even the uncles and aunts would chuckle about it. So I'm like, wow. Sooner or later, I was laughing about it too. And then it took me like, I have sort of a delayed emotional response mechanism.
I do too.
It takes me
about
10 years to figure out that I'm pissed.
Oh, wow. Well, the circumstances in Cal's childhood were that this happened twice again, as she said. And each time, of course, she was in a different stage of development, so those stages were arrested. But there's an interesting quote here from one of the inner child greats, and it says, if your survival figures rejected you for your vulnerability as an infant, you may reject yourself in the same way. So it's not safe to be vulnerable or weak. And we see this, you know, we see this, and Cal talked about that, yesterday. It's just not safe to appear weak in any way or vulnerable.
Hello? I mean, I spent 14 years as a competitive power lifter.
I didn't even realize that.
This is no joke. I did.
Uh-huh. Yes. Well, we're not going to appear weak, that's for sure. Whereas in order to have real intimacy and to have a real real close relationship with someone or people, we have to be able to be vulnerable, and we have to be able to trust. And, you know, these things are impossible when we're still carrying these wounds from childhood. And it's amazing to think that infancy affects our adult life the way it does, but it really does. And so I found this all quite beautiful that you're willing to do this and also to come on and tell everyone about it. You know, the incident is one thing, and that's tragic in itself that an incident like that happened, but that's not the real problem. The problem is what we believe about ourselves due to the incident. And so, Cal, expand on that a little bit more.
Oh, well, what does it feel like, you know, when you finally wake up and realize that you weren't worth keeping? That kind of does a number on you. It makes you ashamed of yourself. It makes you know that, with me, it's always been about feeling like there's something terribly wrong with me, and that I have to somehow or other make all kinds of adjustments just to be able to leave the house, go out the door, function in public. There were a lot of offshoots of, that came into my life later on as I got older. I mean, I was, because I was so ashamed of myself and shy about, just afraid to trust life, I think I couldn't even function in normal patterns with kids when I was in grade school and stuff.
We go out to school totally unprepared.
And I just don't expect anything from anybody. I mean, essentially, I don't expect anybody to help me. I don't expect anybody to be there for me. And I've pretty much grown up being the kind of person that has figured out how to live without all the stuff that everybody else has. And as far as my relationships with other people are concerned, I have really good relationships with my friends, but in terms of getting together with people on an intimate basis, no. I've had a lot of boyfriends, and I've been married and had four what I call long-term relationships, but the whole thing with me and trusting other people for any length of time is real difficult.
Just adding something to that, I'm reading a new book by John Bradshaw right now called The Post-Romantic Stress Disorder. I think it's really typical. I think that's what I got too. I think a lot of us have it. But what he was talking about, I was reading this morning, what he was talking about is that in relationship, we go from all this sexual attraction and this, erotic, wanting the person, not being able to stop thinking about them. We're talking to them 25 times a day. The natural progression is maybe after 9 months or 10 months or whatever of that, then we move into what he calls an attachment stage, where we're attached to each other. That intensity isn't there anymore as soon as you see each other, you need to jump in bed or you want to. It's not that, that kind of wanes. And some people think then that the relationship's over.
That's what I always think.
Yeah, well, that's what I always thought too. I always couldn't put this book down today. I was reading. And he said, it depends on whether you can move into that next stage or not, depends a lot on infancy.
Got past that stage.
Yeah. Because we weren't, if you weren't attached to your mother or your nurturing survival figure, you don't know how to do that. And you don't even feel the value in it. What's really good is when you work with your inner infant and you give her that beautiful love and attention, and you
do. I don't know what to do with it.
A lot of people don't. A lot of people say that. How am I going to do this? I don't know how to do this. We do. It doesn't require a babysitter. You don't have to feed this baby. You don't have to change its diapers. You don't have to do anything. All you do is give it maybe 15, 20 minutes of your attention every day and just read the affirmations that you've been given. Welcome to the world. I've been waiting for you. Things that she needs to hear. Your needs are okay with me was one that was really pertinent to you. I'll give you all the time you need to get your needs met. These are things that she still needs to hear. She'll pop around. She will. She just needs that attention. That will change, and you'll have that attachment within, and then we'll be able to be comfortable with it on the outside. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
And hopeful, because, you know, I think, wow, so much damage is done.
No. I never made that connection before, but it's true. You know, it's like I can do relationships as long as they're interesting and as long as it's fun. But if you have to hang out for any length of time, and I don't want to do that, you know, because I really don't know what to do with you after a couple of hours.
Yeah, you don't know what to do.
What are we supposed to be doing here? What? I always thought it was just part of my nature. Maybe it is.
Well,
maybe, you know, there's nothing wrong with that either.
No, there's nothing wrong with anything.
Okay,
we're not saying that there's anything wrong with it. But if you were wanting to have a long-term relationship, this is a natural thing that happens.
Maybe if I'd known about it 30 years ago, it would have been more helpful. But right now...
Who knows? We see people 80 years old walking down the street holding hands. They still have stars in their eyes when they look at each other. And it's not about sex, is it? It's about that attachment. I can't imagine myself without him. You know, he's like a part of me. You hear people say that. He's a part of me. You know, I just think that this is something that we could all have if we wanted, but we can't with a wounded inner infant.
No, well, that's for sure.
There's just no way. So you did a fantastic job on your letters, and she's certainly ready. Your inner child is certainly ready to love and to be more spontaneous and to have more fun. That's what she really wants. And you are too, because she's a big part of you. So I think it's exciting. Okay, well, we're going to break now, and we'll be right back talking to Cal Garrison about her inner infant. Awesome.
The Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network.
Dr. Judith Long is a pioneer in the field of expanding human consciousness. Having 30 years' experience in the world of metaphysics, Dr. Judith is considered an expert in the body-mind connection and in living with spiritual awareness. She lives what she teaches. Through her workshops, seminars, lectures, and private practice, she can teach you how to open to your own personal guidance, connect with your higher self, and be aware of the unity between your body, mind, and spirit. Visit www.drjudithlong.com to schedule an appointment with or to purchase Dr. Judith's exclusive line of transformational products. They include Chakra Bliss Essential Oils and Mists, Sedona Vortex, or Archangel and Goddess Mists, Meditation CDs, Starlight Jewelry, books, and more. Also, check out her upcoming workshops and events, such as the exciting 5-day workshop, Awakening the Illuminated Heart. Sign up online today at www.drjudithlong.com. That's drjudithlong.com.
Be visionary. This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
You are listening to The Eye of the Needle with Dr. Judith Long. If you'd like to reach our show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to The Eye of the Needle.
Okay, welcome back. We're talking about the infant stage with Cal Garrison, who just completed her first inner child session with me yesterday. And she mentioned that she's not sure how to take care of the child from here on. And there are instructions given that she can follow each day, maybe for 15 or 20 minutes. Infant is all about beingness, so there's a lot of meditative practices, a lot of massage and things like that that really help the infant to feel safe. Cal also told me that this part of the session was extremely powerful for her, and that's the inner child meditation. Yeah, so we're going to do it again. She's wanting to do it again. So we're going to do it again now, right, Cal?
Yeah, you bet.
Okay, and if anyone is out there and you're in a place where you can just be quiet and sit comfortably, don't do this if you're driving, please, but if you can pull over or whatever, it would be safe. We're going to do this inner infant meditation. And you'll have a feel for what it's like, for what this work is like. So just start by sitting quietly and becoming aware of your surroundings. Locate yourself in space and time. Feel your back and bottom touching the chair you're sitting in. Feel your clothes on your body. Hear as many different sounds as you can hear. Feel the air in the room. Just for now, there's no place you have to go and nothing you have to do. Just be here now. You can close your eyes if you haven't already done so. You can be aware of your breathing. Feel the air as it comes in and as it goes out. Be aware of how it feels in your nostrils as you breathe in and as you breathe out. If you have interrupting thoughts, that's okay. You can just notice them as if they were the sentences going across your TV screen during a program announcing heavy rains or an approaching storm. The important thing is just to notice your thoughts. Just allow them to pass by. As you continue your breathing, you can hold on to your consciousness as much as you want. Or you can let go in ways that you know which allow you to relax. You learn to hold on and let go as a child. And you really know just exactly how much to hold on and how much to let go. You learn the perfect balance as you learn to breathe as an infant. You learn to breathe in and hold on long enough to oxygenate all your blood cells. And you learn to let go and feel the air go out. As an infant, you learned how to suck your bottle and to let go as you tasted the warm milk. You soon learn to hold on to your own bottle and to let it go when you were finished. And you learn to hold on to the side of your crib and to let go when you were ready to lie back down. So you really know exactly how much to hold on and how much to let go. And you can trust yourself to find just exactly what you need for you. And now you may be feeling a kind of heaviness in your eyelids. You can just let them close tightly. You may feel that heaviness in your jaw, in your arms and hands. You may feel like you can't move your hands. And you may feel like there's a heaviness in your legs and feet. Like you can't move your legs. Or you may feel just the opposite, like your whole body is floating. Like your hands and arms are like feathers. You really know what you feel. Heaviness, lightness, and whatever that is, it is exactly right for you. And now you can begin experiencing some childhood memories. You can remember your first school days and your best friend in those days. You can remember a kind teacher or neighbor. And you can remember a house you lived in before you went to school. What color was the house? Was it an apartment? A trailer? Did you live in the city? In the country? Now you can see some of the rooms in that house. Where did you spend your time in that house? Did you have a special room? Where was the dinner table? See who is at the dinner table. What did it feel like to be at that table? What did it feel like to live in that house? Now, imagine or remember the house your family lived in when you were born. Imagine the room where you slept after you were born. See the beautiful infant you were. Hear your voice as you coo, cry, laugh. Imagine you could hold your cuddly little self. You are there as a wise and gentle adult. You're viewing your own infancy. Who else is there? Your mom? Your dad? What does it feel like to be born in this house to these people? Now imagine you are that precious tiny infant looking out at all of this. Look up at the grown-up you. See yourself as a magical person, your true self. Feel the presence of someone who loves you. Now imagine that the grown-up you picked you up and held you. Hear her tenderly tell you, "Welcome to the world. I've been waiting for you. I'm so glad you're here. I've prepared a special place for you to live. I like you just the way you are. I will not leave you no matter what. Your needs are okay with me. I'll give you all the time you need to get your needs met. I'm so glad you're a girl. I want to take care of you, and I'm prepared to do that. I like feeding you, bathing you, changing you, and spending time with you. In all the world, there has never been another like you. God smiled when you were born. Let yourself feel whatever you feel when you hear these things. Now, let your grown-up self put you down. Hear her assure you that she will never leave you, and that from now on she will always be available to you. Now become your grown-up self again. Look at your precious little infant self. Be aware that you have just reclaimed her. Feel the sense of that union. This little infant is wanted, loved, and will never be alone again. Take this precious tiny baby and bring her into your heart and secure her there. Now, walk out of that room, out of that house, and look back as you walk away. Stroll forward up memory lane. Walk past your first school. Walk into your teenage years. Walk into an early adult memory. Now walk into where you are right now. Feel your toes. Wiggle them. Feel the energy come up through your legs. Feel energy in your chest as you take a deep breath, making a noise as you exhale. Feel energy in your arms and fingers. Wiggle your fingers. Feel the energy in your shoulders, neck, and jaw. Stretch your arms, feel your face, be fully present, fully restored to your normal waking consciousness, and open your eyes when you're ready. Beautiful. I notice. Are you up to speaking? Or?
Oh, I love this. It's your voice. It's just that, how can I say it? There's something about what happens when you go back and you pick yourself up and you give yourself whatever it is that you give yourself at a moment like that. And that's what gets me. It's just really, really amazing. It all comes together for me in that moment. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure, Cal. I love you. So I invite you to look back and know that you are really special and unique, and that you are one of a kind, and that right now in our evolution, we really need to be who we are and allow ourselves to be that fully. The world needs you. We all need you. So don't be afraid. The worst has already happened. Everything's going to be fine. Bye-bye. See you next week. Love you all.
Thank you again for tuning to The Eye of the Needle. Please join your host, Dr. Judith Long, again next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel. If you like our theme music, it's available for purchase from Dr. Judith's website at drjudithlong.com. The name of the CD is Relax and Return to Your Essence. Have yourself an amazing week.